Sets seem to be coming fast and furious these days. Once upon a time, it was 4 releases per year, and now it seems like we're getting a new set release every single month. And for an eternal format, every release has a potential impact on the Commander metagame as a whole, and our own decks in particular. It can be overwhelming to keep up with all the new releases, and trying to find all the cards you need to keep your decks up to date. Hello and welcome to another episode of Gemstone Mine. I'm John, and today we're going to discuss how to analyze new sets. This is not going to be a set review. You can find new set reviews put out with each new release from some great content creators. This is going to be more of a teach a person to fish kind of episode, to give you the skills you need to analyze new set releases and identify the cards that you are going to want for your decks. Essentially, there are 3 broad types of new cards. Brewables, a card which doesn't really fit into any of your existing decks, but appears to be inspiring a brand new deck brewing experiment for you. Something that catches your eye, like a new legendary creature, or sometimes a new build around from a new set that you just really want to play around with. Next, there are upgrades, cards which potentially improve one or more of your existing decks by potentially replacing old cards within those decks. And last, but not least, and quite frankly, in the vast majority, are the rest of the cards, the chaff. The cards which don't really fit into any of your decks and are not really intended to be part of your decks. These are a lot of cards that are very important for limited or for standard or other formats, but are much less useful in the Commander metagame as a whole. This is one of the reasons why so many content creators encourage people to buy singles as a way to save money on the hobby. You're going to get a lot of chaff when you buy a box of booster packs. You're not going to necessarily get all the cards you want, and a lot of the money that you've sunk into the cost of a booster box is in fact going towards a lot of the chaff that you don't really need. So let's begin our analysis. Let's start with the broad strokes approach. Multicolor signpost uncommons are a very nice starting point. These tell us what sorts of themes we can expect to see in a new set, as well as multicolor being one of the best places to find new legendaries. The signpost uncommons might give you some hints for other cards to keep an eye out for elsewhere in the set. Tribal Lords at uncommon may tell you which colors to look to for new creatures of that type in your tribal decks. A new set mechanic will often also be spotlighted on one or more of the signpost uncommons, but these can be more difficult to build around due to the number of commander playable cards with that mechanic printed on them. An evergreen mechanic being spotlighted here among the signpost uncommons could already have enough of a backlog of good cards to look into, such as treasure tokens from Adventures in the Forgotten Realms, or the various cycling payoffs from Ikoria. Common themes commander players seem to enjoy exploring, like Blink, Mill, Reanimation, Aristocrats, Enchantress. These will often see new additions in these signpost uncommons, so it's a good place to look when you're opening a pack of cards or sitting down to play a draft for cards that potentially have impact in the greater commander metagame. Multicolor sets in particular do tend to push the power level for staple effects at common and uncommon because of the downside of having to pay 2 different colors of mana to cast the spell. Every time we go to Ravnica, when we went to Strixhaven, and even in sets like Ikoria, we did see a strong multicolor focus, which means that we had a lot of cards that were a little bit above the power curve, and these could be potentially useful inclusions in a lot of commander decks. Now let's go color by color. To start, look for color pie bends and breaks, things that colors usually don't get to do. These could represent new directions for the color that R&D is trying to push for, such as R&D stating that they promise new stuff is coming for white with ramp and card draw in the future, or they could just be mechanical concessions to the theme of the set. For example, Innistrad Midnight Hunt is on the horizon. In Innistrad, we usually see Graveyard Matters effects, things like Flashback, Death Matters cards like Morbid, and usually cards which serve as an answer to graveyard strategies. We also tend to see a fairly staple core of tribal synergies, with humans, spirits, vampires, werewolves, and zombies being explored in some great detail in these sets. Now, going color by color, I'm always looking for upgrades in white which provide much-needed ramp or card advantage to the color. White will commonly get a pacifism-type enchantment as its common or uncommon removal spell, and some variants are actually good enough to make the cut in Enchantress decks, particularly when they are especially cheap. White will occasionally see a tutor for an equipment or aura at uncommon, sometimes on an instant or sorcery, sometimes as an enter the battlefield or dies triggers on a creature. These are often very useful in those flavors of decks that are looking for ways to get particular auras into the battlefield. White will also usually get a new Wrath or two at rare every year or so, which are often worth looking at because they are often trying to tweak that dial of what cost can be acceptable, what kind of payoffs can you get for running a 5-mana Wrath spell. Sweepers remain powerful. We've talked about that in detail in other episodes, just about how good it is to be able to spend one card to answer multiple threats. So this is always something worth looking at. White will also frequently see a new rare or mythic which provides a new take on a Staxi mechanic, like Strict Proctor in Strixhaven, which was a new take on the Torpor Orb effect to stop creatures and other permanents from being able to use their Enter the Battlefield triggers. If the set has a core theme, White will often get a rare or mythic which can fight against that theme and construct it. So with the upcoming Innistrad set, expect White to have some creature or enchantment or spell which is going to affect the graveyard in a meaningful way. White usually gets a splashy angel at rare or mythic as well. It's always going to have flying, it will usually have some form of vigilance or lifelink, and then some other effect that may, for example, play with the graveyard, do something to protect you, buff your creatures. This is where White usually gets its big showcase creature for the set. Moving on to blue, I usually like to be on the lookout for efficient answers in the vein of bounce spells like Blink of an Eye or Into the Royal. Unfortunately, modern counterspells can rarely live up to the efficiency of older designs, and while blue's combat tricks occasionally cantrip, which can be relevant for some storm decks, they're generally very weak in Commander, which is often a format that doesn't really want combat tricks to begin with, particularly not those that simply shrink a creature temporarily. Blue often does get an aura at common or uncommon, which taps down a creature or prevents it from untapping, which again is usually too weak for Commander, but some variants can again be useful as removal spells in Enchantress decks. Blue doesn't always get a mass bounce spell, but when they do, they're usually worth looking at for all the reasons that we described before about how useful sweepers can be. Usually, the big splashy marquee card in blue winds up being a rare or mythic big draw spell, and again, these are usually at least worth looking at, although it can be hard to match the efficiency of some of the earlier cards that we've seen in this vein. In black, we're often going to see some new draw spells, a lot of graveyard synergies, occasionally a new tutor. Sacrifice and paying life have become common variables attached to card draw and answers in a lot of common and uncommon designs that we've seen out of R&D lately. Particularly if there's a sacrifice theme in the set, which is usually going to be in red and black in the limited environment, look for a new variant of whenever a creature dies trigger printed in its text box. This can be a way for you to identify cards that might be useful in an Aristocrats type deck. Black will also occasionally get a new creature which recurs itself out of the graveyard easily, in the vein of Bloodghast or Reassembling Skeleton. In modern design, these will often be returning to your hand or entering the battlefield tapped. Creature type is usually going to be Spirit or Zombie or occasionally Skeleton. Just keep an eye out for these as they are potentially valuable in, again, those Aristocrats type or self-sacrifice decks. Black does get Wraths at a rate similar to what White does in modern design, usually with some downside or cost outside of the mana cost printed on the spell, but oftentimes being more efficient than White is able to muster. These can be very useful to look for, but oftentimes they don't come as the form of straight destroying creatures, but simply shrinking them, hopefully to the point where the -X -X is enough to lead those creatures to die. In terms of the big splashy cards, Black usually gets a big demon at rare or mythic with some splashy, usually self-harm type of effect where you pay life to get some kind of value out of it. These have been hit or miss in Commander designs, but they have given us some powerful effects like Vilas, Broker of Blood, so always be on the lookout for a card that could be potentially powerful like this. Lately, Red has been getting some modular removal spells, which often act as card advantage with an upside or just having something else tacked on to a staple removal effect. And they are looking more and more to impulsive draw as potential upgrades for a lot of old Red effects. Threaten effects, for example, are common in most sets, but in all honesty, only a few decks really want them. If that's your deck, be sure to check out the commons and uncommons for the new Red Threaten. Red direct damage spells are usually keyed for limited, so we don't generally consider them for Commander. But we do occasionally see an uncommon Pyroclasm variant, which can destroy a large number of tokens or small utility creatures by dealing 2 or 3 damage to everything on the battlefield. Red's splashy, mythic, or rare creature is usually some type of a dragon or occasionally a phoenix. Keep an eye out for dragons that have more unique effects than flying, fire breathing, and haste. And phoenixes are usually going to be tied to some theme in the set, which is going to trigger their recursion back into play or back into your hand. We occasionally do see a new damage-based wrath from red at rare, sometimes with an upside like exiling creatures it destroys or letting you scry, or sometimes being an X spell like an Earthquake, which lets you change how much damage you'll deal. In recent sets, green's ramp has been fairly lackluster, but there have been a few effects which have come about with some regularity, like increasing card draw, which always makes green worth looking at as well. R&D has been hesitant to print cards on the level of Llanowar Elves for mana dorks, or 2-mana value lands into play tap spells, and even Cultivate and Kadama's Reach seem to be a little bit too strong for most modern sets. However, we have seen R&D exploring regrowth effects, which show up from time to time. So it doesn't hurt to look for these new variants when they come out. Balaged Recovery from the most recent Zendikar set, for example, has quickly become a commander staple. Having a 3-mana regrowth on one side and an into-play tapped green land on the other side has made it very attractive for a lot of decks. Green usually gets some big beast or elemental or hydra as its splashy rare or mythic with a long text box. Look for the ones that are under-costed, provide value, or protect the rest of your board. The most common effects we typically see out of these big beasties coming out of green's side of the field. Overrun effects are typically going to be at uncommon, but when you see it at rare or mythic, the upsides are often really powerful and worth taking a second look at. Also remember that rare is usually the place where R&D will experiment with new takes or variants of mana-producing creatures, often being able to produce a lot of mana for a relatively small investment. A creature that costs 3 mana that can tap for 4 or 5 or 6. The balancing factor there usually being that they're going to come into play summoning sick and not be able to tap on the turn that you cast them. Colorless artifacts are rarely a starting point for me in most sets, but there are a few potential hidden gems to always keep an eye out for. There's usually a way to fix colors, sometimes on an egg, that you can sacrifice to fetch a basic land, or let you filter for another color with some small upside like scrying or letting you draw a card again. Most sets will also usually have an overcosted answer in colorless, primarily for limited players desperate for removal spells. If you're just getting into the format or you're in a very limited number of colors, sometimes these are worth looking at, but not usually. 3-mana value mana rocks tend to be a space where R&D is exploring more and more, trying to find new upsides to make that cost appealing to players. And as these rocks move to higher rarities like rare and mythic, they're getting pushed in new and interesting ways. This is another area in set design to keep an eye out for, as you may find something very powerful at the 3-mana value slot in the rare artifact section in a new set. This is also the place where R&D likes to print silver bullet type answers and stacks pieces. They'll typically see a first print or even a reprint here. The cards that are meant to keep standard healthy from the sideboard are sometimes good enough to act as a proactive stacks piece in certain metagames in Commander. Now that we've looked at all the colors, let's start breaking things down in terms of card types. For creatures, we're usually looking at the text box as the most important part in the Commander format, but don't discount the cost, the type, or the power and toughness. A lot of times, if you know the magic number of your metagame, it can be very easy to identify that 3 toughness is hard for your opponents to deal with. And they're running pyroclasm effects that deal 2 damage, 3 toughness can be a very resilient stacksy creature. Enter the battlefield triggers on creatures tend to be among the most important things to look at, but remember to look at static abilities as well, followed by activated abilities, particularly if those activated abilities do not include the tap symbol. Other things to look at on creature text box are creatures you control have or creatures you control get. These are useful strings of text to search for, as these can identify lords or other creatures who can provide big benefits to your creature-based decks. Instants and sorceries need to be impactful in Commander, but efficiency matters as well. Remember that with instants and sorceries being one-and-done effects, a lot of Commander players tend to not like these as much as they do reusable forms of advantage, like you can see on permanence. But draw spells, tutors, ramp spells, and answers tend to be the things that Commander players are very interested in, while combat tricks and buff spells are going to be of much lower value overall. Enchantments and colored artifacts are where very unique effects can be printed. There will usually be a handful which are intended to be build-arounds for limited, printed at uncommon to unlock unique decks using major mechanics in the set. Engine cards can frequently be found printed at a common as enchantments as well, like Wilderness Reclamation. Red usually gets some sort of big chaotic enchantment, which plays with the basic game state in unpredictable ways, while Artifacts Matters decks should remember to always take a closer look at each color in a new set, as R&D is now experimenting more and more heavily with putting colored mana pips in the casting cost of artifacts in order to better flavor them and identifying them as belonging to a particular color. The rare land cycle in each set is usually worth a look as well. If they have basic land types printed on them, check for the downsides in the text box, but basic land types are very valuable as these can be fetched, and these can often also usually be ramped out with a number of different green ramp spells. There may be some kind of a tie to the set's mechanical theme, such as the cycling lands from Amonkhet and Ikoria, which can be potentially powerful too. Look for the clause, which describes how the land can enter the battlefield untapped, or what the upside is if the land always has to enter the battlefield tapped. While dual lands are relatively common, rainbow lands, which can tap for any color, don't see print very frequently, but usually they will show up in rare if they're going to show up at all, and you need to look carefully at the downsides of those. Utility lands, on the other hand, are most often going to show up at uncommon. They're usually only going to produce colorless mana, but their effects can be potentially helpful if you are in a low-color deck. Planeswalkers are the card type which are almost always among the ones that I look at last in a set, as while they are very big and splashy, the multiplayer nature of Commander means that unless they can protect themselves, they're often extremely vulnerable, and being able to be activated only once per turn cycle means they're often fairly slow, being a lot closer to a sorcery in terms of their impact on the game than a real permanent like an enchantment or a creature are. Now, moving on, higher rarity usually means more powerful, but not always. Cost-efficient answers can show up at any rarity, and the uncommon removal spell for a color is often a place where R&D is going to break new ground, for example, introducing Black's ability to interact with enchantments. Like many modern set reviews from Commander content creators, I personally also prefer to look at legendary creatures separate from the cards that would go into the 99. Commanders are analyzed in a very different way than cards you're looking at for the 99. I mean, we did an entire episode on analyzing commanders already, and I would refer you back to that episode for additional information on how to look at new commanders. Speaking of which, Commander precons releasing with each set changes the landscape as well. We generally get a few new legendary creatures each set, usually one commander for each of the new precons, with a dozen or so new cards designed with multiplayer in mind to play with the themes that we saw in the base set for that quarter. Our usual annual main commander release seems to have moved to the spring for now, with five decks tied more closely to the spring set's mechanics. Expect some splashier effects, with cards that might have been too powerful standard to show up here, particularly if they have a unique multiplayer bent to them. Look for a cycle of cards, which check to see how many times you've cast your commander, check to see if you control your commander as the spell resolves, or some other commander card-centric requirement, as these are often a lot more powerful than they may appear on the surface. Rarity is generally irrelevant in commander products, since they're all one-offs in the precons they're printed in anyway. Now let's get on to a few odds and ends to start wrapping up this discussion. Look at the top card of your library is a non-standard but increasingly common way for R&D to provide card advantage while playing into the themes of a set. Think of Oracle of Moldiah letting you play lands from the top of your library, or Bolas's Citadel letting you play non-land cards from the top of your library in exchange for life. If a card reminds you of an old, particularly powerful card, it's probably worth a second look. R&D likes to revisit old card designs and try to rebuild them with modern design in mind. Sanctum Weaver from Modern Horizons 2 is a good example, a mana dork who taps as if it is Sarah's Sanctum, giving you mana for each enchantment you control. Being able to describe a card as being like X, except, is a really helpful exercise that you can use to determine if a card is worth the price to add to your deck. If a card is modular, with bullet points appearing in the text box, it is probably worth a second look. Modular cards are much less likely to be dead on draw when you have them in your hand. Having them in hand means you are probably going to have more options to use it if there are more options literally printed on the card. If a card has a lot of colored mana pips in its casting cost, the effect needs to be very strong to be worth it. We are often playing multicolor decks in Commander, and if you're playing a 2 or 3 color deck even, something that has 4 colored mana pips can be difficult to cast successfully. Its actual cost may be higher than the mana value printed on the card. That said, don't forget to look in the text box for alternative costs or additional costs. A card that has a very low cost for its effect may have additional costs in the text box which make it prohibitive. Or a card which seems to have a prohibitive cost printed on it may have an alternative cost which makes it much more palatable if you can jump through some hoops to meet those requirements. Look closely when old mechanics make a comeback, as R&D will generally only bring back a keyword mechanic, particularly ones which are originally limited to a single set, if they think there's a lot of new depth to explore. If a card, particularly a rare or mythic, is doing something that seems brand new and something we really don't have any real analog for earlier in the history of Magic, this is probably also worth looking at. New effects need play to understand how they're going to be used and how effective they might be. To finish things off, let's do a couple of quick logistical tips for when you are looking through a new set. Personally, I like to use Scryfall. I like to look through the whole new set just scrolling through it on Scryfall, clicking on cards which catch my eye. The search engine is fairly robust, and you can search the list fairly easily by name, and organization is really easy. You can do it by set number, by color, by effects. Whatever makes it easier for you to search through, Scryfall can do it. Read the cards out loud. It can be very easy to misunderstand a card and shortcut it to an incorrect reading of the text when your brain sees a card, categorizes it as the common red burn spell, and then fails to read the details further. This can lead to you missing cards that could potentially be very strong in your deck simply because you were reading it only in your head and not out loud. Having a notepad or a spreadsheet or other application ready to copy and paste the names of cards which interest you, or a link to the cards page to reread later, can also be very helpful. You can almost consider this your little shopping list of singles you want to pick up when the set releases. And that's it. That's the guide to doing a quick analysis of a new set, so you can best identify the singles that interest you, whether they're to brew a new deck with, or something that might improve on existing decks that you already have. Save some money so you can enjoy this hobby and this format more easily. And now it's your turn. How do you look at new cards and sets? Are there any content creators you love and have a great and unique take on set reviews, or just seem to jive with your general approach to building decks, so they always seem to be keyed into the same cards that interest you? We want to hear about it. Leave us a comment on YouTube, where we are Gemstone Mind Podcast. Add us on Twitter, where we are Gemstone Mind MTG. Or send us an email, where we are gemstonemindpodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm John, and this is Gemstone Mind.